tomorrow or by, I guess by Wednesday, we'll probably get overnight ratings to see how Trump's convention competes with Biden's. Now, we were, Zip and I were actually talking about this yesterday. There's just no comparison of broadcasting, stage presence, broadcasting acumen, etc., between Trump and Biden. Biden gets crushed in any kind of a forum where they got to go toe-to-toe. Trump comes off as a guy that is in command of the medium. Biden comes off as a guy that's just angry about everything and just sounds like a total political hack. Now, Maggie, how long is the Biden audio clip that we have today? Okay, so Biden's basically asked a question yesterday. Okay, 150. So he's asked a question yesterday. It's you'll hear the NBC news guy. We have an exclusive here with the Democrat ticket. I just want you to listen to the now. This is the sum total of 47 years in politics. When he's asked the question, what would you do differently? Basically, he says, I've just turned my administration over to Fauci. Listen.
Sworn in come January, and we have coronavirus and the flu combining, which many scientists have said is a real possibility.
Would
you be prepared to shut this country down again?
I would be prepared to do whatever it takes to save lives, because we cannot get the country moving until we control the virus. That is the fundamental flaw of this administration's thinking to begin with. In order to keep the country running and moving and the economy growing and people employed, you have to fix the virus. You have to deal with the virus.
So if the scientists say, shut it down?
I would shut it down. I would listen to the scientists.
If the scientists say, shut it down, he gone, you shut the whole thing down again. Now, this whole thing, this idea here that in January of 2021, that there's even the possibility that that could be done again ought to scare the living daylights, scare the poop out of anyone. You ought to be thinking right about now, I'm never doing that again. If you try to make me do that, I'm going to tell you to go blank yourself. I am, like I told someone in Mississippi, I got to tell you this story. And two below on Saturday, I had the audio for that, for the talk I gave. I'll try to get it posted, processed and posted later on today. The lockdown is the same thing as a house arrest, basically. The idea that anyone is toying with the possibility that this could happen again, and that the result would be the same, and that you would—I mean, what is left to destroy? What is left to lock down? You know, even if it's just me, just a cursory browse. Around downtown St. Louis yesterday, looks in many places streets that I drove down, looks like what it looks like in New Orleans. You got plywood boards up over windows where shops once were. You got people, obviously, then whose retail businesses are permanently closed. They're never coming back. What would even be the point? I mean, at some point in time, folks, someone is actually going to have to put their big boy underwear or big boy boxer shorts or panties on. He's going to have to step up to the plate and say, we're just going to have to deal with this in public. Okay? It's not the... As a matter of fact, we got a story in today's Pile of Prep. I didn't get the Pile of Prep up because of the travel schedule here. But I do have the story here. This is from... And again, I am totally bedeviled by the size and scope of the pile. Here it is. I got it. Get on with your lives. Oxford professor says people have become overly frightened of COVID-19. Thanks for that, Captain Obvious. Gee, what a brilliant statement that is. I digress for just a moment. Antifa BLM gets caught. Peter joined me Sunday to talk Buffett Gold. Why shouldn't we? Okay. Even though Bojo's system of localized COVID-19 measures seems to be working, the unrelenting hysteria peddled by the British press has left millions of Britons traumatized. That's part of the PSYOP. That's part of the plan. Now, Carl Hannigan, a professor of evidence-based medicine at Oxford University, you'll see. By the way, these guys actually called this stuff right. The nutbag at the Royal London, I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I'm trying to remember his name, Neil Ferguson, the guy that said, we project 2.5 million to 4 million dead in the U.S. alone, pyramid-sized piles of bodies in major cities, and the need for refrigeration to keep the bodies chilled until they could be buried. Remember that? 2.5 million, 4 million dead. None of this materialized. The guys at Oxford the whole time were calling this stuff out and going like, I don't know how you arrived at that number, but your model is flawed. So the guys at Oxford actually got much closer to getting this right. Carl Hannigan, a professor of evidence-based medicine at Oxford University, is calling for the government to intervene and proactively reassure his young students that the coronavirus won't kill them if they contract it. We talked about this at dinner last night with Robert's daughter. I told her, she's 20. I said, even if you did get it, you're over it. You would never even know at that age that you had it. Yet, they're running around terrified of it. He said exaggerated fears of the virus have led people going about their daily lives, misunderstanding and overestimating their risk. We'll continue. I am live here in St. Louis here on the Crusade Channel.
Romney, field investigation finding obsolescence. Do you know why you're here, Mr. Wordsworth?
Yes, sir.
I'd ask you to speak up a little, if you will.
Yes, sir. I know why I'm here.
You've been under investigation, Mr. Wordsworth, for the mandatory period of 1 year and 11 months. You're found to be obsolete. The purpose of this hearing is to make a finding in the matter and make a sentence accordingly. Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
Your occupation, Mr. Wordsworth?
A librarian, sir.
A what?
A librarian, sir.
Has this man had counsel?
Yes, sir, he has.
Are you sure he knows his rights?
He's been given orientation, sir.
Mr. Wordsworth, I'm told that you've had counsel. Stand back in the light, Mr. Wordsworth! I'm told you've had counsel and been given orientation, Mr. Wordsworth, but I'm still not sure in my own mind that you understand the purpose of this hearing. The field investigators in your sector have classified you as obsolete. This finding carries with it serious implications. Do you understand that, Mr. Wordsworth? Now, I ask you again, your occupation?
I am a librarian, sir. That is my occupation. That is my profession. If you people choose to call that obsolete...
Request clarification of the term?
Yes, the term, Mr. Wordsworth, you people, you make reference to the state?
I make reference to the state.
And you persist in declaring your occupation as being that of a librarian, is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
A librarian having to do with books.
Yes, sir. Books.
Since there are no more books, Mr. Wordsworth, there are no more libraries. And of course it follows that there is very little call for the services of a librarian. Case in point, a minister. A minister would tell us that his function is that of preaching the word of God. And of course it follows that since the state has proven that there is no God, that would make the function of a minister somewhat academic as well.
There is a God.
You are in error, Mr. Wordsworth. There is no God. The state has proven that there is no God.
You cannot erase God with an edict.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
Drive a million miles to be with you tonight. So if you're feeling low,
well, Marcus Aurelius, Nudus Meridus, Maximus, Augustine. Tis the Mike Church Show here on a Monday. Boy, howdy, is it a Monday. Did somebody send a memo out telling everyone that we were not going to be live today or something? I mean, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? So I am at the home of Zip. Here in St. Louis, Missouri, we are here for the feast day of St. King Louis the Ninth. If you don't know the backstory, BLM and a bunch of angry whack job Muslims threatened to tear down the statue of St. King Louis the Ninth here in St. Louis in June. And they were going to follow the same protocol that they followed everywhere else. They're going to get an angry mob of Antifa and some black lesbian lives matter wackos. And they were going to go down to where the statue is. And they were going to put ropes and chains around St. King Louis. And they're going to pull him off his pedestal. And they were going to jump up and down and scream and holler and declare a victory. And then demand that the city haul the statue away and rename the park. Did you know that there was actually an effort here in Missouri to have the city of St. Louis renamed? Yes, these lunatics actually demanded he was mean to Muslims and Jews. He can't have a name. He can't have a city named after him. You need to tear it down, man. Like cha.